Good evening. Barbara and I arrived this afternoon back from Birmingham, where we had a very good morning with the church there. In fact, had a good evening last night. They took us out to dinner at the country club. We enjoyed that too. So we're glad to be back here. It's been a circuit of almost 3 weeks that we've been traveling, and certainly enjoyed the time that we were at the Polishing the Pulpit retreat. That was a first-time experience and a great experience, and greatly recommended. We had a display there and was able then to have contact with a lot of people, including some people here from Master Lake Road. As I think about what has happened in life, I was reminded with the song leading young man, did a good job for that. My own start, I was 14 years old, and we used to go out with a group of young people to churches roundabout from Bowie, Texas. And I recall the first time I led in public at a church was in Montague, Texas, and I can even remember the first song I led, Anywhere with Jesus. And it's become sort of a theme. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go, and He's been with us everywhere we've gone, and here we are tonight, safely arrived. And after that, then, went on to Searcy and with the Harding, and actually lived in Searcy and went to Searcy High School before I went to Harding University. And while I was still a teenager then, about 16, I started going out to a place called West Point, outside of Searcy. And they asked me if I'd lead singing. They really were down at the bottom of the barrel, so they asked me. And I did that. I began to lead singing to this church when I was 16. And then, having been there for several months, the preacher didn't show up and didn't come back. So they asked if I'd preach. So then when I was 18 then, I began to preach out at West Point. And never stopped. So who knows, you may be asked to preach. Scotty may not show up and you may have to take over. Great. Well, we did have a great time at Polishing the Pulpit. It gave us opportunity to meet a lot of people and at the same time to have a lot of good lessons. You know, their program is almost like a book. There were so many classes you had to choose. And sometimes it'd be two or three you'd want to hear at the same time. And of course, the way they handle that now, if you stay till the end, I don't know if Scotty got one or not, but I guess he did. They give you out a flash drive. They give everybody a flash drive with everything on it. And so if you don't want to go, just pretend you're there and they'll give you a flash drive at the end. But it's a fun experience, well organized, and I can greatly recommend it. I can say I greatly recommend it if you're rich. It kind of costs me, but it's worth it. So start saving. Try to go. You know, it's been a long time since we first had contact here with Maston Lake Road. And this circuit that we're making right now is sort of a thank you circuit. Seeing several churches that have been supporting us. But Maston Lake Road is very special. In 1978, we lost all of our support because we were supported and sponsored by one church out of Dallas, and they just cut us off. So I didn't want to leave Geneva after 8-9 years there, so we came back. I came back by myself and began to try to find a way to replace our support. And at that time, I used in Maston Lake Road as kind of a central place to work out of with the help of Howard South. And we saw a lot of churches around here, and from that time we had some support, some of which has continued all the way. But Maston Lake continued. Maston Lake Road continued as a church. And you took over our sponsorship at that time in 1978. So you calculate back how long we've had association with you. And then in 1991, it seemed appropriate to make a change as sponsorship with the College Church in Searcy, where we had been living for a year then. And you then, as Maston Lake Road, as a church, you made the agreement, but you continued your support. Even though they took on the sponsorship, you continued your support. And that has continued until this month. So basically, your support for the work we're doing is terminated this month, as was arranged when we made the decision to move back to Searcy. So this trip has been an opportunity for us to go to different churches, such as Randolph and Bethel, Birmingham, Franklin, close to Nashville, to simply say thank you. It's a thank you time for us, for all that you've done for us, to make it possible for us to have worked in Geneva and then out of Geneva in the different ministries we've had around the world, in the French-speaking world. We're still working. Searcy is now our base, and much of our work continues from there, such as the correspondence course program by internet and by the post, and then the travel we do. Because of that, you know, the transition is important, so we've had to make arrangements financially to be able to, with Social Security from Switzerland and from U.S., and then some investments, we're now able to do it on our own and don't have to ask you to support us. One thing we are asking all of these churches that have been helping us is, if it's possible, to take a portion of that support you've been giving us and continue with a working fund. And you will need to discuss that among yourselves as to how much you could continue with help up for the working fund, because we do have quite a few expenses coming from the program we're doing and the travels we do. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, you know, when you leave a certain place or a certain area, it's always good to try to find a replacement. And as far as getting someone to go back to Geneva, that's really not my objective. The church there has its good leadership. But as far as Europe and French Europe, there's such a great, great need of more workers. And we're trying to encourage a young couple out of Nashville to be able to go to France. And it, you know, it's been 25 years since anyone has gone to France, you know, to go there and serve. And so this couple is willing to go, and Creve Hall in Nashville is going to be their sponsor. And they'll be working with Creve Hall. He's the youth minister there until the end of the year. And then from January, he'll be trying to get ready. And the timeline is try to be able to go to Colmar, France, to begin the church there, because there's no church there now. So this will be hopefully in May that he'll be able to go. But this young couple, they have one young baby, 2 months old, are ready to go. He speaks French. Very qualified. He graduated from Fried Hardeman, has a master's degree in teaching languages, had a 4.0, what do you call that, point average. You know, has a pretty good mind. Anyway, he will be needing more support. And if you want to be considering someone who is so highly qualified and willing to go, we need both those who send and those who go. People like you, you have been good sending churches, and very grateful for that. Anyway, I just mentioned that down the line, perhaps his name is Aaron Palmer. Perhaps he and his wife and child could come down and spend a weekend with you. It'd be a good way to get to know him. And the Creve Hall in Nashville is not very far away. But anyway, he was in Birmingham this weekend, and that's where we were with him, with that church there. And I think, I'm pretty certain they're going to be supporting him some. But it's really good. They already have their sponsoring church, which is Creve Hall in Nashville. Well, I mention all that simply to say why we're here. That is, we're here to simply, again, to say thank you for all you've done for us. You are our home here in Alabama. You are our home in the states in many ways, because we always came here and had such a good time staying 2 or 3 weeks sometimes here in Huntsville. This is where we had our doctors and our dentists, and we were able to stay with the South most of the time. Now it's really, really great to come, and the Browns have opened up their house. And I have to say, there's a little bit of limitation at the Browns. They're gone right now. They're in Florida. But we came in this afternoon, and we had a key to their house and went in and could not find in that house real coffee. And we had to drink decaf coffee this afternoon. So you may need to Dutch Barbara one or two times after a bit. But we're not quite stimulated as we often are. So that's not their fault, I guess. But anyway, we couldn't find real coffee. But anyway, it's good to be back with you. What I thought I'd do is, in just a moment, show you the presentation that we showed on a continuous basis at the retreat at Polishing the Pulpit, at our display, simply to give you kind of an overview of what we've been involved in, where we've been, and let that be kind of a summary of the work that you've had a part in, and then I'll close out with some thoughts at the end. But first, I thought I might, because I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and you know time has passed, and a lot of things has happened. But one thing I can be pretty assured of is most of you got up this morning and took some pills. Is that right? Anyone did not take some pills this morning? Maybe some of you young people. But I suspect that most of the people here did. And I had this little reading, and I thought it might convey where we are, because I take pills, Barbara takes pills, part of our lives now. And so here's a row of bottles on my shelf, caused me to analyze myself. One yellow pill I have to pop goes to my heart, so it will stop. A little white one that I take goes to my hands, so they won't shake. The blue ones that I use a lot tell me I'm happy when I'm not. The purple pill goes to my brain and tells me that I have no pain. The capsules tell me not to whiz or cough or choke or even sneeze. The red ones, smallest of them all, go to my blood so I won't fall. The orange ones, very big and bright, prevent my leg cramps in the night. Such an array of brilliant pills, helping to cure all kinds of ills. But what I'd really like to know is what tells each one where to go. So I thought about that and realizing, see if we can get things going. Now we're in good shape. Because we look at the world and it works. God has made this world to work. But also, when you ask that question about the pills, all I know to say, God is at work. In order to keep our bodies functioning. So let me just show you some of these and give you an idea of what we've been doing, where we've been going. So the French world, as you can see, the French world is in these blue areas, and really something that I have only recently learned, there is a progression of the French language so that by 2050, French will have overcome English as the world's strongest or most spoken language. And this is because the growth of people primarily in Africa, this is causing French to increase around the world, Africa and Asia. So the time will come that French will be spoken more than English. Right now it's English and then Spanish, I believe, and then French, but it's going to overcome it. So this is the world where we have work. So this French world, as you see the flags, involves 44 countries, and these go around the world because you go from the South Sea Islands, you go through Canada, you go through the Caribbean Islands, you go across to Europe, you go down to Africa, you go over to the east of Africa, to Madagascar, and then some French spoken in the ancient French colonies in the Far East. So it is around the world mission that we have had. We see again through this. So welcome to exploring the French world mission. This is a mission of light. You know, the world is in darkness. So we are called to be lights where we are. Sometimes it seems to be a real struggle, but in fact, darkness does not exist by itself. You know, being dark is not a color. Black is not really a color. Black is an absence of light. Darkness is an absence of light. And so because of this, wherever there is light, the darkness will be repelled. Now, as we come by the display where we were at polishing pulpit, we gave that each time because we were trying to get people to sign up for the French World Mission newsletter. This gives information about what happens in the French world, and we're continuing that. We'll have one out by the end of September, another week. So we tell people sign up at the table for the French World Mission. We have the target a lot on French Africa. There are 22 countries in French Africa, and this is more than the English number of countries. So there's more French spoken in Africa than there is English. But yet, we have gone to the English-speaking countries, and the work has progressed. The churches have multiplied. But very few people have gone to French Africa. In fact, as far as I know, as far as going to preach the gospel and establish churches, there are no Americans or Europeans in those 22 countries. Fortunately, as we'll see, we now have more nationals who are able to carry that work on. But as far as missionaries, in this area of West Africa, Central Africa, down to Madagascar, there are no Americans working in those areas. And the need is to go there, which includes some countries where it's a Muslim country. So particularly in the northern part of Africa, you have countries that are either Muslim or Islamic states or Muslim influence. And this is making a difference in what we do and how we work in terms of the gospel. But it's possible. And so there is a mission to the French Muslim world. We try to use technology, and as we saw this evening, it's not always easy to put it together and make it work all the time. But certainly we try to advance, and this has opened up the possibilities that the internet has given to us. And so we use the modern technology as much as we can. We have developed a training program called the Echo de Master, the School of the Master. This is 16 courses that can be taken by those who are responsible people in churches, so that they become better teachers and preachers. We work with the World Bible School, Echo Mundial de la Biblia. This is one of the signs in Chad, for example, that's put up. So the French World Bible School is used around the world, and that's a big part of our work. We sometimes, in a week's time, send out 200 or 300 courses. But when they continue to come in, the strength of this particular program is that we have 15 or 16 men in different countries who work with us. And they are the ones then that do the recruiting, the enrolling, and then they, when the courses are sent, they do the correcting, send it by email, by internet, back to us the results, and then we send from our stock then the lessons that follow. So it's a way that they do not have any expense themselves where they are. They can then have a place there directly where they are to make the contact and the follow-up. So this program is working well with the collaboration of our fellow workers in these countries. Some countries use something like that. There's all kinds of methods. This method is useful when you have this chariot de l'Evangile, where they can go out with the loudspeakers and the chairs, even portable baptistries to preach the gospel in the villages. So it's called a gospel campaign bus. Barbara and I, we do try to promote the French-speaking world where we can, in English and in French, but these are some of the displays we've had here and there, some in the States and some in Europe. French materials are very important. And in Nashville, at the Creve Hall Church, they have a deposit of French materials that is directed and used and produced by Barry Baggett and Garrett McKilbray. These are working full-time to provide French materials. And this is a very important element in the work we do, because we turn to them for the resources that we need for the correspondence courses that are printed, for the brochures, for the books. So it's an important work they do in Nashville with the French printed materials. And if we didn't have this, then everybody's struggling individually in local churches trying to have materials. Right now, there is so much material available in terms of topics, there's really not much need now to write more or to translate more, but simply to distribute more. And that makes it available. One of the things I've been working with every summer has been the children's camp. This was in the area of the Ardèche Mountains in the central part of France. This was the first summer since about 20 years I haven't been able to work in this particular camp, and I miss that. But it's a good place where the churches work together to serve the children and to teach them the gospel, that they too can be a part of the family of God. So this is in one of the streams there close to the camp. I'm not sure if you're agreed with this kind of pyramid. There's all kinds of food pyramids, but this is the Texas pyramid. I like the bottom part of that, the pecan pie and bluebell ice cream. But this may seem somewhat humorous, but we think about people around the world, particularly in the French world, I think, who are so poor. And we have a frustration in our work because there is a need to respond to that as well. And we don't have the means to do very much on that. But it's still a reality that most of the world lives in some kind of poverty. And this is including a preacher in Chad, and this is where he lives. And he also has a church meeting in this house. I'm planning to make a trip to Chad in November, and we'll be working with this preacher here. And again, we remind them at the retreat, sign up for the French World Mission newsletter. If those sent out now by electronic means, we no longer print this, but if you want to receive it, if you don't already, because I mentioned this back through the years, I'd be glad to have your name and email address, and be glad to send you then the news of what's happening in the French mission world. We have a target here in Kinshasa to give you an example of something that is very important, because we do not have missionaries going to French Africa. But I've been pushing and working with, encouraging more Bible schools in French Africa. And now we have 6 or 7 are producing graduates who then go out as well-trained young men and some older men to serve both back at home and to start new churches. So the Bible schools are essential to French missions, because eventually it is the nationals who are going to be carrying the gospel to their own people, speaking their own language, knowing their own culture, being able to communicate, where we sometimes can do it somewhat after spending several years, but they can start at the very beginning. So one thing that we have been encouraging people to sponsor the students who go to these Bible schools, takes about 100 a month to sponsor them for their personal needs. And then like in Kinshasa, or the school in Kinshasa, they send out now about 75 graduates. They go back all over the Congo. For, you know, about 12 years ago, there were 2 churches in the Congo, in Kinshasa and Lubumbashi. Now there are probably 40 to 50 churches, and primarily through the work of the Bible school. And when they are converted, when people grow, they need a Bible. And so another function of our work is trying to raise funds for Bibles. Now, we can send them French Bibles fairly cheaply. Not sin, because mailing is so expensive. But the Bibles themselves are fairly cheap. We can get them printed fairly cheaply. But the local language where they are. You know, have so many people who cannot follow the French, but they do need the Bible in their local language. And usually this averages about $10 each for those Bibles that we buy locally. So here's the distribution of Bibles in the church in Burundi. You all know where Burundi is, don't you? Or the capital of Bujumbura. You know that. I'm sure you learned that. Sometimes there can be some risk in the work, but you can be prudent and work around that, and be able to go ahead with the dependence that you have on the one who is always there beside you. You know, there are some things you really need to have. This is a chair huge chair in Geneva next to the UN, representing people who have had their legs blown off by landmines. So it's representing that. But I used it as illustration that there can be no real missions without someone who goes and someone who sends. And so we always emphasize that we need both the senders and those who go in order for the missions to be effective. Geneva, where we spent 47 years, even now, you know, I'm in Searcy, we talk a bit, and I say, well, back home, it was so-and-so. Geneva still remains home to us. But it has been a center of missions, and we'll be able to work out of that in both Europe and in the other parts of the French-speaking world, with campaigns and all kinds of things. The Geneva Church emphasizes mission with a mission evening, with a dinner, and some propaganda about missions every year. And of course, you can see the message of missions is always that we can die to self and have new life. And so there's always a very precise and necessary message that people can change, and this change affected by Christ and His sacrifice. And we are the ones who come as those who carry the gospel. So you know the scripture problem. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who publishes salvation. Now those are my feet. They're not very beautiful. But on the other hand, if they are used to carry the gospel, then it's a beautiful thing that happens. The good news can change lives for eternity. And again, at the display, sign up for the French War Mission Museum. Another thing we do is make trips and have seminars to teach leaders, church leaders. This is one in Rwanda. And down the north part of Rwanda, there was a restoration movement underway, which led up to 16 different churches. Went in and had seminars for the leaders of these churches. But now it has become very difficult there because the Rwanda government has decreed that if your building does not conform to the rules that we have, then you cannot exist as an organization. And that means that they are eliminating small groups like this who have sometimes just a shelter, but no longer can they meet under just a shelter. And so it is really hurting the church in Rwanda. And basically moving it back to a house church, a courtyard sort of movement, and perhaps in this way even more according to the New Testament. We have to respond by compassion. And so the scriptures teach us that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And so we meet that continuously. And this response to such widows, such orphans — she's just lost her husband in a flood — this is difficult. It's frustrating because you don't have the means to respond to all the needs of the poverty and the afflictions they have. And so I'd say in terms of our travel, this has been the most difficult part of it, to be seeing so much poverty and suffering and not being able to respond to very much of it. Of course, if you respond to one, that one is very appreciative, grateful that we did it. But there's so many others that we cannot help. But we can talk about the key. I like the idea when Jesus is born as a baby, this was a king-size bed, the bed of the king. And so our message is the king has come, and then of course the message, he made possible the entry of all nations into his kingdom. And this has been our mission. And people are hungry. They listen. And I go in with these seminars and so on, and they just sit there, just, you know, as we say, lap it up. And this is very satisfying to be a part of this kind of process. The nations have a thirst for the good news. And it's so very easy. We do a lot of work with seminars and all, but also do a lot of individual work. And the people are thirsty to the extent you can go into a courtyard, ask for a chair, and say, I've come to talk to you about the Bible. Could we spend some time together? And people in the courtyard will just come together and start a Bible study very easily. And sometimes very quickly, leading to their transition as God's children. So when we go, they will listen. Not everyone, of course, because not everyone can understand. Not everyone wants to understand. And so not everyone is really a candidate. But we go to those who are willing to listen. And we find them always, everywhere, regardless of the passage of time and the difficulty and limits we may have, we're still going to go. And so time has passed for Barbara and I. And I'm not sure we'll get to this point, but why not? You know, we still have the desire to serve as we can. So with limitations, the mission continues. And should be so for every one of us, not just Barbara and I. So this is a good thing. And regardless of the obstacles, you know, in the Lord's work, where there is a will, there is a way to move to the goal. So sign up for the French World Mission newsletter. So the eyes of God is on the world. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch for the evil and the good. And we do forget sometimes that we're not alone in what we do. As Jesus said, "And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world." So to the end of the world, not only in time, but to every place where we go. And so we do not work by ourselves. We have the support of people like you. We have the prayers of those around the world. But also we have the Lord who works with us. And because of that, then we can proclaim with this passage, "Blessed are the ones who die in the Lord, blessed indeed, that they may rest from their labors." This is our objective and what we try to do. That people die in the Lord. You as a congregation, you have partially as a ministry to reach out to the neighborhood, to reach out to the world through missions, but also to help people in this church to die in the Lord. And that's a great mission, one that you're involved in. Having said all that, let me ask you a question. Is anyone here who is a veteran of World War I? No? I'd be surprised if there is anyone. But here's something that's interesting. There was a man by the name of George Clarence Price. Do anyone know who he was? George Clarence Price. Probably wouldn't. He was the last one to be killed in World War I. And what had happened was, you know, as the war was winding down, they were having negotiations to conclude a peace. And so a treaty was signed. And the war was to officially end November the 11th at 11 o'clock. There was a Canadian squadron who was asked to move out from where they were and make a survey of what was still there. And as they moved out into the village, a sniper, who had not heard that the war was over, shot one of the soldiers. He was the one who shot George Price, because he was killed at 10:58, the last one to be killed in World War I. And what's interesting to think about is, suppose he had shot George Price at 11:02. Well, according to the laws of war, it was legitimate what he did. Because at 10:58, the war was still on. But at 11:02, he would have been a murderer. So at one point, he was a warrior. You know, like Cain was a murderer. But David was a warrior. David killed many more people than Cain did. But yet, he's kind of held up as a hero. And so, if this man, Sniper, had shot this one man at 11:02, he would have been a murderer, according to the rule of war. But it's an illustration of how some things happen in such a way that a point in time makes the difference. You think about this. Before there is the marriage, either by custom, society, civil marriage, or religious marriage, before there is the marriage, sexual intimacy is considered fornication, or at one point in Scripture, an abomination before God. Sexual intimacy. Before that one moment when the two stand together and they say, "I do." Each one says, "I do." Then after that one moment, then sexual intimacy becomes a joyous obligation in the framework of God's planning. And that one moment of "I do" makes the difference. Or you can think about Jesus Himself when He died on the cross. All the planning before the foundation of the earth, He comes to this point when He says, "It is finished," or "It's achieved what He had come to do." And what had He come to do? To save us from our sins. So at that one point then, in His work, His salvation work, that made the difference. And so after that then, there is another idea of how one moment makes the difference. When we as sinners recognize that we are offending God with our life, our style, our practice, we come to Him seeking forgiveness. We come to Him and He says, "You can be forgiven through the blood of My Son." And so He says, if you will die with Him at the moment of baptism, and then if you'll be buried with Him at the moment of baptism, and then if you will be resurrected with Him as you come out then in new life, that very moment, you see, before we were all sinners, lost. Then after that moment, we are still sinners, but saved sinners. So at a moment in time when we say, I do to the will of God for my life. At this moment when we are, you could say, married to Christ, that makes all the difference in the world. And so a man can be, at one moment, a warrior according to the rules of war. And a few seconds later, he can be a murderer according to society. So it is, we can look at one moment in our lives and say that we can be lost forever, separated from God forever. And then in a moment, we become His child to live with Him forever. One moment in the history of our life, which is tied to the history of the life of Jesus. And putting those two moments of history together then, when we say, "I do," makes all the difference of eternity. And so that's the invitation for someone. The fact that you're ready to say, in a marriage feast of joy and forgiveness and hope, "I do," and be buried in baptism with Jesus. And sometimes we lose our way, don't we? So we need to come back to that space that has been created. This space is so important within the community of God's people. And be a part of that community which is in Christ, because it's possible to put ourselves outside of Christ and to have a méprise, to, as the Scripture says, stamp under our feet the blood of Jesus because we said no. But we turn around like the prodigal son. He did say no, didn't he? and left the Father's house. But the time came when he said, yes. He came to his senses. And he said, yes. And came back to the Father who always had his arms open for him. Always a son. Sometimes a lost son. But also could be a saved son in his house. So that may be the need also tonight. So the work that we do is a common work. And the end result is that we can all be united into one body, which is the Lord's church. You may need to enter it through baptism. You may need to come back into it through repentance. You may need to ask for help, support of the church, prayers, to help you along the way. This be the need for Satan's need. And you respond as you. I was